light. In pain, abounding weakness, mighty is the wonderful love of Jesus.
Serves you in one way or another, that you would look upon with peace It is significant when we talk about lifestyles and we talk about God's great plan for our lives, because He wants us to live in keeping with His will. And as a result of that, we find in the pages of the Bible many, many pages and many scriptures in reference to how we live from day to day. When the Lord underlined, in essence, a couple of passages, like we mentioned this morning, in Proverbs chapter 23, He says regarding a man's life that a prudent man foresees danger ahead and guards himself. Then later in Proverbs 27:12, He said the same thing. Prudent man foresees danger and guardeth himself. The same thing is true in regard to ways of life that we are deceived by. Twice in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 25, chapter 14, verse 12, the statement is made the same. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Your teachers in school, like my teachers in school, had a certain way of teaching that emphasized something unspoken. I had teachers that when they put something on the chalkboard twice, or put something on the chalkboard and underlined it twice, I could count on that being on the quiz, on the test, at the end of the day. It would appear on the questionnaire form for me to answer, because it had been there. And she would refer to it to somebody that says, "I just don't remember that." She said, "Well, I wrote it on the board and I wrote it twice, or I underlined it twice for you to see." And she would emphasize that idea. And people learned that, and they'd pass along to the next generation that came to that particular class, that when Ms. So-and-so, when she underlines it or when she writes it on the board twice, you be sure that you know that right there, because it's going to be on the questions, on the test. It's going to be there. Well, if that was the idea in God's mind in regard to this matter, He certainly set it out when He says to the prudent man who has wisdom. Wisdom is based upon information that has been gained. When that information has been gained and wisely used, that makes the man prudent in his ways. He realizes that it's not just a one-time event. It's going to occur again and again. Say, for example, that individual is out in a pond of water and finds himself in that pond of water in the sense of being overboard of a boat. He will remember the ideas that if he gets out and finds himself on the side of the boat, that he'll get himself back in, and he realizes that this can happen again. It can happen in the same way that he has fallen out of the boat and been rescued by way of the side of the boat there being available for him or otherwise. And so he knows that that is a dangerous thing, and he foresees that danger ahead, and he begins to think about what he should put on and what he should wear and what he should do in regard to the behavior that he has. What we find in the page of the Bible is this. We find God's Word telling us certain things to behave and to do. When we ask individuals, and we've had some in this congregation to be here, and I thought that they were lovers of the truth and lovers of the Bible, they would leave here and they would say at the back door to me, "Brother Rawson, this is Bible. I appreciate you using the Scripture. I appreciate what you said today, and it really helped me." Apparently it did not help them very much, because they went a long way to be a part of denominationalism that I objected to in the lesson that I presented. I was objecting to the idea that if you cannot find the sinner's prayer in the Bible. And thus I asked those individuals later on who were talking to me about the things that they had done now and what they were doing now. And I said, "Let me ask you a question. Would you please ask your minister, what verses does he use in the Bible for saying a prayer to the Lord for salvation from sin?" The only one that I know in the Bible that ardently said a word of prayer was Paul himself. Saul of Tarsus was praying earnestly, so earnestly that when Ananias arrived and saw this man, he said, "Arise, get yourself up and get yourself baptized and wash away your sins, Acts 22:16. It wasn't get up and let's pray together. This word's a prayer. Let's have this understood that we can be people who understand how to live and how to do and how to be saved. But rather he said, arise and get yourself baptized and wash away your sin. Acts 22:16. So that was truth. That was the teaching of God's will and God's way. And notice twice that he noted that the prudent man foreseeth danger ahead and guards or hides himself as a result of that seeing it. In these verses of Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16, we see there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. When there are crowds of people and throngs of people, I can understand how people want to be a part of a lot of listening. A lot of young people activities and things like that are going on in a certain place. I can understand the idea that it will enamor somebody and get their attention, and they'll want to be a part of that, and they go to that. But when they go to that, it appears to be right. But the end thereof could be the way of death. A person might have his idea in mind to electricity and might find that in that idea he would get up next to an outlet and find himself thinking that I can use my knife blade and I can do this opening and I can make a little change here and I will not get shocked by this outlet. I don't know if it's a live one or not, but I'll be cautious, and this is what I'll do. It appears to be a right thing to do. Appears to be, to unless somebody has had that experience. And I've had that experience. Something is in there, it's live, a live wire, and it will shock you back. It'll push you back. There are some of those things that are strong enough, I understand from those who deal with the light lines, that they actually draw the people to it. When they get close enough by, that electricity draws them into that electrical current, draws them to it. If they get too close to it, they have to guard themselves as a result. There's a way that seems right, but the end thereof is the way of death. What if a person thought about salvation from sin because there's a crowd of people there? It's a good preaching that's being done there. A lot of teaching of young people is being done there. And a lot of ideas are being shared. They laugh a lot and they cry a lot and they just really have a great time together. It appears to be something that it is not. It's not the teaching of Acts 2 and 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Jewish people were taught that on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. In Acts chapter 10, we read of Cornelius, a Gentile man, who repented unto life, Acts 11 verse 18. But the word repent is not in chapter 10. What did he do? He was a part of a patriarch system. He was a part of worshiping God at home. He was a part of teaching his family to reverence God, love God, and do his will. And when finally he was told to send to Joppa for a man named Simon Peter, who when he has come, he will tell you what you ought to do. What did he do? He sent to Joppa. He sent there for Simon Peter, and he got him to come. And when he said this to Simon Peter as he arrived, we are here before God. All of our families here. We're all here before God to hear all things commanded thee of God. When he bowed down to him, Simon was one who noted to him, rise up, I also am a man. I'm persuaded that in every nation, he that feareth God and doeth righteousness is acceptable to him. He was fearing the Lord, and he was fearing the right thing, and he had the right person to tell him information. And this information was given to him by Simon Peter, who said to the crowd of people, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? They had received the Spirit of God, not for the purpose of saving them from sin, but as a sign from the Heavenly Father that nothing was to be withheld from this Gentile in a full knowledge of what he could do to be saved individual. The Lord did not want Simon Peter to withhold anything in regard to what he should teach him. Just because he was a Gentile did not make any difference with the Lord. In Romans 10 and at verse 12, it is said, there is no difference in the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. Jews and Gentiles alike have been called upon by the Lord and called upon by his holy word, and that message is there. Premillennialism tells us that the Lord is coming and he's going to set up a kingdom. He's going to rule 4,000 years in Jerusalem, and there's going to be special things that will be done. Are just those things that are not true, not accurate. Reason being, the Lord did not in his word say that that what was going to happen. He said that his son would come again. He said his son would come and take us to the judgment scene. Listen to Paul's words of 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done while in the body, according to that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. When Jesus comes back, and when he comes for his own, what will be for those who were not obedient to him? He's the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him, Hebrews 5 at 9. And so it is that he is author of salvation for the people who obey him, and these are not obedient to his will. No matter what way they may have followed and enjoyed and been enamored by, it is the case that they had something that the wise man Solomon had addressed back there in Proverbs 14 and 12 and 16, 25. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is the way of death. In Jesus' words of Matthew chapter 7, we can see some things along the way if we'll be paying attention as prudent or wise people. He said, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in therein. But in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for the straight gate and the narrow way leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We are part, we hope, of the few that find a way of life and a way of hope, and that we follow in the Bible and we read in the Bible what God has said so that we can put that into practice in our daily walk of life. If we do not do that, will we be any better off than those who thought they were doing right but did not do a thing in regard to obeying the Lord's will? Will we be any better off than they when we are not obedient to the Lord ourselves in our way? And that's what Paul addressed the brethren at Corinth with, that idea. And the brethren at Rome, he particularly addressed in that thought when he talked about the way that they lived and the way that they misbehaved before God, and how that they found themselves rejecting the gospel of Christ. And that's why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God. What's revealed in this gospel message? The right doing of God, the righteousness of God. It would be just like we read back there, and we studied on our Sunday morning time, of Psalms 119, verse 172. All thy commandments are righteousness. When we find the commandment of God in the Old Testament of our Bible, David said we find the right way to believe and the right way to practice something. It's the righteousness of God. All the commandments of God are righteousness. When we find ourselves following this way of the gospel, it is noted there, for therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Notice that in this regard, we find people who want to begin with a faith and believe that they're going down that straight gate, that narrow way that leads unto life. But if they find along the way that they're going down a broad way that have many things and many ways and many ideas, Maybe they'll be wise enough to recognize that that's not the right way. I've met a lot of people in my lifetime of these 60 years of preaching the gospel who first thought that they were doing the right thing, first thought that the sun rose and set in some speaker that they heard who was an accomplished, very capable speaker. They were sure that that was the right thing being taught until somewhere along the way they heard a radio broadcast or saw a television broadcast answering Bible questions. And they found that it didn't answer according to what that man read in the Bible as to what I've always heard and understood. Back during the years that we were involved with the Bible Speaks program in Jackson, we were in the middle of Sunday morning. So we knew that when people were there watching us, they were either sick and not members of the church and they were sick and they were watching that along the way. Or they had skipped church somewhere along the way and others and they were watching that. Some people got up late and they watched that program. I would go down to the Canton, Mississippi for the flea market that was there. Twice a year they would hold a tremendous flea market. And they would involve everything that you could imagine around the way, foods as well as other things. And you would park in somebody's yard, and they would charge you, and they would also protect your vehicle. There were a lot of people down there who take advantage of a car that was left somewhere and not pay attention to. And so they would guard that car. They would watch out for it as you were there. And I would go down and I would park somebody's driveway and I'd find or yard, pay them for it, and I'd go on up to the people, and they were by the hundreds and thousands that were there. Not very long in regard, every time that I went, someone would walk up to me and say, or I'd walk by somebody and they'd say, "Hey, wait a minute. Haven't I seen you on television?" "Well, if you've seen the Bible Speaks program, yeah, that's the one. And they began to note and observe how that they had been benefited by the Bible verses that were used and the straightening of it. I met two or three people that obeyed the gospel as a result of that. Some lived in Canton and some lived in the Jackson area. And another one lived down in Collins, Mississippi. And they were really glad they heard the message that they did. And they got to reading in the Bible. And you know, there were a lot of other things that we were practicing in our religious group that were not authorized in God's Word. It was just not the teaching of the Word of God. And I could remind them, yes, and the Lord was ahead of us in saying this through Solomon back yonder long ago. There's a way that seems right, but the end thereof is the way of death. Let's be people then who love the Lord and love His right way. And for those who hear by way of the internet this program and this study, be aware of the fact that our lifestyle should be not just to assume that we're walking down a right way and doing the right thing, when in fact it could be something that we need to check out in the Scripture and find that it's not there. That there's another way of salvation that is offered to us. And that's the way of rendering obedience to what Jesus our Lord has said as He lived here and as He left here and left the apostles. The Holy Spirit has guided them into all truth. In John 16 at verse 13, when Jesus talking to His apostles, He said, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will direct you into all truth. For He will not speak of Himself." He didn't make this up. "But whatsoever He will hear from My Father," just like I heard from My Father, "that will He mention unto you." Earlier in John 14 and 26, Jesus had said, "The Comforter would bring to your remembrance all things I've said unto you." The Holy Spirit had a great job and a great work to do. And the apostles were told that the word of truth. So they would present that. And when we get in the scripture, we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we read Peter, Paul, James, and Jude. We're reading about the inspired message of God. We have an article coming up in our bulletin in a few weeks of time. Brother Keith Mosier has been quite a student and a wonderful study about the original manuscripts of the Bible. And he had a program that he presented at the church at Nesbitt back a few years ago, 2017, in which he noted the writings of others, and he believed that it was accurate as to why the original autographs were not found. The original autographs of these books of the Old Testament, the Bible, and the New Testament have not been discovered. But there have been thousands of copies of that text. And since there are thousands of copies, Giesler and Nix noted that because there are so many copies in so many countries and available to people, it made it impossible for there to be changes made without it being so easily known. This is a copy of the original, and the copies of the original did not appear like this. And thus you can find the years in which the changes were made. They did not allow a way that was right to go by them, thinking that they were doing right, when in fact they were not. It's a good thing to note. Thank you for your time and your study with us tonight. As we sing this song to remind ourselves of this way of life, think about your relationship to God. And those of you who are listening to this program, pay attention to the scriptures that are used and reference to the way that God has told us to obey Him. Come as we stand and as we sing together.
My Redeemer, what can I but asked you to guide God and direct us and to give us direction.
Amen.